to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Yes, thank you, Johnny Bowden. Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, Feb 21. My name is Joe Pignataro, taking you through the Breakfast Bite this morning. And before we look ahead to the weekend's matches, let's look back on last night where the Saints returned to Moorabbin and got the win over the Hawks.
Last seconds of the first hit out for Hawthorn and St Kilda. Men's footy's back at Moorabbin, and the Saints cap it off with a victory. And that famous song rings out around Moorabbin again. It might bring a tear to the eye of a few old Saints.
You don't have to wait too long for footy to be back at Moorabbin. It's there again tonight in the AFLW format. Last night it was New Zealand who overcame an undermanned Australian Boomers side in Brisbane in their Asian Cup qualifier.
Glover almost stealing the ball, but Nartai did well. Tarangi for three. Oh, he gets it to go with one to come. Fouled by Angus Glover. And Ruben Tarangi, what a play.
Yeah, they were on fire, the New Zealand basketball side. And Meg Lanning and the Australian women's cricket team, they're hoping they're going to set fire to the T20 World Cup. Kicks off tonight in Sydney.
We love getting out there and playing in front of our fans and family and friends, and that's what we're most looking forward to. So everyone's really excited about what's to come.
We've got all the wash-up from last night's game. A look ahead to tonight's match, plus we'll also hear from Dave Warner in South Africa, where the Aussies are about to start their campaign against South Africa. The Women's T20 World Cup, we got more from Meg Lanning. There's golf news on the way, and there's plenty more in the run to the Breakfast Club at 6 o'clock.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
25 minutes away from 6 o'clock on this Friday morning. Daniel Harford, Adam White and Adam Rabanaskis up with the Breakfast Club after that. We will try and find you an early mail winner today with Greg Ural. We've got Moonee Valley tonight and we're also racing at Sale. After 7 o'clock, Dean Lester and Nick Quinn are back together. Take a look at the quaddy legs. Of course, Dino's formula bet. And the Ramaruffi ahead of Blue Diamond Stakes Day tomorrow at Caulfield. After 7:30, Dean Kent, who played in last night's match, which saw the Saints get the win in front of 8,000 fans at RSEA Park, will join the guys. Of course, they've got 7 or 8 days to rewatch this game and play the Hawks again in Morwell. Lisa Alexander is going to join the team just before 8 o'clock. She's got one game to go with the Australian Diamonds, and that is the Bushfire charity match on March the 1st. Lee Holsworth, after 8, is currently driving with Tickford Racing. They're Ford. It's his second season with the side. Of course, it's the Adelaide 500 this weekend, the first of the supercar races for the season. And then Jeremy Lolliger, the CEO of the NBL, after they announced earlier in the week record attendance figures for 2019-2020. And once the final series all is wrapped up, over 900,000 fans will have attended NBL games this season, which is simply remarkable given the state of the NBL only a few years ago. Just absolutely fantastic. And you may have just been listening. Before 5:30, we heard from Chris Golding, who was in the Summer Sanctum yesterday ahead of the NBL finals, the Melbourne United taking on the Sydney Kings. And if you missed any of that chat or Andrew Bogut earlier in the week, you can head to the podcast page at rsn.net.au or subscribe on iTunes to any of the shows across RSN, The Breakfast Club, Racing Pulse, RSN Central and The Late Show. Now, let's turn our attention to the footy where the Marsh series kicked off last night and St Kilda got the job done by 21 points at RSEA Park, 17-9-111 to 13-12-90. Jack Loney and Tim Membry kicked 4 goals apiece for the Saints. Well, for the Hawks, it was Luke Bruce kicking 3, Jonathan Patton kicked 3, and Isaac Smith kicked 2, and it was fantastic to see Tom Mitchell turn out for the Saints. Brad Hill, in his first encounter in his new club colours. We'll start with him. He spoke to Fox Sports after the game. And, Brad Hill, here he is after his first performance with St Kilda.
It's awesome to come back to Moorabbin. Obviously, you know, this is the home of the Saints, and just see the big turnout by all the supporters here tonight. It was terrific, and you know, it was great to come out here and have a game. And it was a good game, and we played some good footy, which is good. So it's awesome to be back out here.
Your connection with the forwards was sensational tonight. How hard have you been working on that?
I wouldn't say I've been working too hard with it, like with the connection.
Comes
with the forwards,
naturally.
But, obviously, I like to kick and hit up the forwards, and obviously once you've been training with these blokes for a little while, you start gelling with them, and yeah, I felt that's one of my strengths, kicking to the forwards, and hopefully I can bring that throughout the year.
Some really good signs from Max King tonight. How much potential does he have?
Yeah, obviously there's a little bit of pressure on him at the moment. Obviously he's a talented player, and obviously he's got to take a little bit of time. There's obviously going to be some games where he'll dominate. There'll be some games where he's a little bit quieter, but you know, Max has got another 10 to 15 years left of footy, so I reckon he's going to be a superstar, and hopefully he can play some good footy for us.
Do you think he'll play around much?
I think he will, yeah, personally, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, he's obviously showing some signs, and I think he's going to be a long-term player for our footy club.
What about the small forwards tonight? They were really, really useful and really clever around goal. How crucial will they be this season?
Yeah, obviously the tolls bringing it to the ground and making it a bit easier for the smalls to get to work once it hit the ground. And you know, Jack Loney, Sinclair, Butts were terrific today, and just Butts' pressure around the footy is awesome too. So obviously we saw him do that at the Tigers, and now he's done it here, so it was good to see.
Great to see you in action. It's a bit chilly for a February night. You'll want to head back quick.
I know, it's a little bit different to Perth, but no, I'm enjoying it, so it's been awesome.
It's good to hear Brad Hill back enjoying his footy down in Victoria with St Kilda after a few years at Fremantle. He was one of the new faces you would have seen last night for the Saints. A few others were Paddy Ryder, doing some fantastic ruck work, Dan Butler from the Richmond Footy Club now at the Saints, and Dougal Howard alongside Max King and Ryan Abbott. You heard in that little piece of audio from Brad Hill talking about Max King. Well, he sent the 8,000 fans into raptures in the opening quarter when he kicked himself a goal. He spoke to Fox Sports after the match about his first encounter playing in the Saints colours.
Yeah, it was unreal atmosphere tonight. Pretty stoked to be a part of it. Good to get the win as well, but just great atmosphere. Like all the Saints fans, we can't thank them enough for coming down and showing their support.
How steep is the learning curve you're on at the moment, getting to play against AFL quality opposition?
Yeah, I've definitely got a lot to learn, so I hope each week I'll just learn a bit more and find my feet, so very excited for the year.
Are you shooting for round one? Is that the goal?
I think that's a goal of mine, just to play as much footy as I can this year. So, hopefully the body pulls up well and all is good.
Working with Rats, what's the biggest focus for you over the next few weeks?
Just a lot of that forward stuff, a lot of those leading patterns, getting used to those bigger bodies. So, each week I just get a bit better at it.
Our commentary team's been particularly impressed by the work of Bradley Hill tonight. He's such a class player. How good is it as a forward being on the end of some of his delivery?
Yeah, it's very good. We're so lucky to have Brad in our team. So, the forwards are licking their lips when he's coming out of the midfield.
Very exciting for St Kilda fans to see a power forward with the number 12 on their back after years of watching Nick Riewoldt, who was there last night as part of the Fox Footy coverage, watching his successor in his jumper. One player who didn't play was Dan Hannabry. Of course, he's had an interrupted preseason after a freak injury breaking his foot just before Christmas last year, where he fell over a small set of stairs in Perth. He has been putting a nice block of training together about 3 or 4 weeks now, and we may well see him before the Marsh series is over, so round one will not be his first hit out. But he did speak to Mark Stevens last night on Channel 7 about where his recovery's at.
Always a plan to come in, play a full intra-club, have a week off, and then aim to play next Friday against Hawthorn again at Morwell, and then the following weekend against Collingwood. So get two solid hit outs in, and then week off, and touch wood, everything goes well, and look to play round one. Yeah, but first time in probably about 4 years I've had some solid continuity. Pre-Christmas wasn't as much as I was planning to, although I was still running before Christmas, which was great. Allowed me to have a really solid Christmas break with my running, and then haven't really missed a beat since I've been back after Christmas.
So good news for Dan Hannabry and good news for Saints fans that he can get his body right. He's had a good block of the last month of training on the way to round one. For the Hawthorn side of things, some new faces you may have seen. Sam Frost, who came across from the Demons. Jonathan Patton in the opening half took a couple of really big marks and kicked a couple of nice goals. And one man who's not new to the club, but he hasn't played since he won the 2018 Brownlow medal, was Tom Mitchell, and he just accumulated at will. He was named their best player in the wash-up last night. He spoke to Fox Sports after the game.
I was a little bit rusty with my hands and things like that, but body's fine, pulled up really well, hit a few bodies and pulled up fine from a few big collisions, so got through the game unscathed. That's the main thing. Yeah, a lot of us haven't really played together. Obviously Chatty Wingard's another one from another club. Frosty, he was awesome tonight down back. Johnny Patton. So the more we can train, play together, build that synergy, the better we're going to be.
So Jonathan Patton kicked 3 goals. Luke Bruce kicked 3 goals. The injury news out of last night was Ben McAvoy went down in the opening couple of minutes, reported to be a corked thigh. So hopefully nothing too much more serious for him. These two sides will come again together Friday, February 28 in a bushfire fundraising match in Morwell before their next series of Marsh games. Kilda will play Collingwood in Morwell on March the 8th, so they'll go back there 2 weeks in a row, while the Hawks will head to Tasmania to play Melbourne in Launceston on Friday, March the 6th. Before we finish up, we will have some more footy news before 6 o'clock, but let's turn our attention to the cricket world, and Australia are building up to their series against South Africa. We heard yesterday from Steve Smith it was the first time he's been back since the sandpaper saga. And this morning, Dave Warner has spoken to the media ahead of the first T20, which is 3 a.m. Saturday morning, our time, Friday night over in South Africa. And he says the South African public have been terrific with him so far on this trip.
Oh, I think obviously echoing Steve's words yesterday about walking into first the airport and then walking into here, obviously the memories weren't great. But... you know, since like the last few days, every single person that we've come across that's asked for a photo or that we've, you know, come in contact with and spoken to have nothing but great words to say and, you know, welcoming us to the country and, you know, have been really, really polite and, you know, it's been incredible how much support we've had from people in the public. And I just played golf just then and they went over and above to make us feel more than welcome and, you know, it was actually a great feeling.
It's going to be fantastic to watch this series. There'll be a lot of heat in it, but he is calm at the prospect of sections of the crowd giving him hard times during the matches, Dave Warner.
Oh, it's like every time you go out there and play 2020 cricket, you really don't, you can't hear anything. It's so loud and it's so fast that, you know, you're only ingrained in what's ahead of you. You know, if I'm batting, it's facing that white ball, and when I'm fielding, it's... watching the captain and making sure, you know, I'm staying focused and always do. You know, at the end of the day, I know what's going to get thrown at me every time I play, wherever it is in the world. And it's, you know, it's nothing I haven't heard before. I'm not concerned about it. For me, it's about, you know, you got to have some form of respect as well. You know, it was poor. And, you know, from my behalf, it's about moving forward. If people want to go to the game and carry on like that, then, you know, that's upon themselves, and, you know, they've got to look at themselves in the mirror, and if they want to act like that, so be it. Oh, it doesn't bother me, but it just shows at the end of the day, you know, they're representing their country as well, coming to, you know, they're spectators watching a game of cricket. You know, I'm pretty sure you don't want to be walking away here with teams, you know, criticising the way that their fans are acting. So, you know, it's up to them. You know, we've got to come here and just put our best foot forward and try and win the game.
Looking forward to this game. So the other news out of this sort of series earlier in the week was Faf du Plessis has announced he's stepping down as captain of South Africa's test team. He's quit as test and T20 captain. Of course, this is a T20 series. He's already been replaced by Quinton de Kock as the one-day captain. But just a bit of news around the South African side. So it hasn't all been smooth sailing for them either. But Dave Warner says, regardless of that news, as well as the sandpaper saga from 2 years ago, he doesn't expect too much needling between the two teams during this trip.
Oh, look, I think it's one-day cricket and 2020 cricket. You don't really have much time over the short period of the time to get underneath each other's skin or anything like that. And, you know, you don't go out there to do that. Obviously, they had some heated exchanges with the English, and that was obviously during the test matches. So, you know, for us, it's about our focus is, you know, obviously moving forward and trying to get the wins on the board and, you know, send a message to everyone that, you know, the World Cup's obviously in our backyard, and you know, we want to be a team to be beaten.
And despite all these runs in Test match cricket, he's got some pretty good form with the bat, opening the batting with the T20s. He's made a 48 not out. That was in November against India in that 3-match series. He made a 128 not out. He's got some good understandings with the captain of the Australian side, Aaron Finch. He's also his opening partner. He says he does relish that understanding with his captain.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time and we've played a lot of cricket together and against each other. We know our game so well. And we work off each other very well when we're out in the middle, whether or not one of us are going or one of us, you know, struggling to time or whatever it is, we just know what each other's sort of, you know, get off strike kind of, you know, play is. And when we're going, it's about smarts, and I think over the time we've both together have become smarter in playing the game in front of us in the situation. Before it used to, you know, obviously just go out and play how you wanted to play, but obviously now you still structure an innings. Doesn't matter, you know, what format it is, and you know he's an incredible person. You know, he's a really humble person. I get along with him very, very well. We're very, very tight on and off the field, and we gel very well together, and it shows that on the field as well.
Johannesburg, Port Elizabeth and Cape Town are the three venues for the T20 Internationals, all part of the build-up to the Men's T20 World Cup taking place in Australia in October later on this year. And then there is a series of three one-day internationals. Staying with the cricket theme now, and Meg Lanning spoke to the media yesterday after their final training session. Tonight is their Women's T20 World Cup Series opener against India at the Sydney Showgrounds. She spoke to the media after the training session, starting off with the injury to Taylor Vlahmic.
Yeah, it's a massive loss, and she's obviously pretty shattered, especially with the timing of it. It was a little bit of a flat day yesterday finding out the news, and she was sort of set for a big role for us. So pretty devastated for her, but I guess it provides a chance for Molly to come in and play a role for us as well. So unfortunately for Tay, she won't get to compete, which is devastating for her. Yeah, hopefully. We played here I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was a really good deck, good outfield. So we're expecting the same. I know they're putting a lot of hard work to get this ground ready for the game tomorrow. So I'm sure that it'll be a really good wicket and outfield and create a really good contest. We've done as much as we can. There's actually not a lot of data for women's games on this ground, but throughout the Big Bash this year, it seems to play reasonably well. And as I mentioned before, we played a practice game on the same wicket 3 or 4 weeks ago. So it looks like it'll be a really good wicket. The groundsman's really happy with it, and hopefully it just creates a really good contest, and it's really even for both sides. I guess it's a little bit of relief that the game's just around the corner. It's always seemed a long way away, and there's been a lot of talk and interest, which is great, but now we get to actually play cricket, and that's what we do best. We love doing that. We love getting out there and playing in front of our fans and family and friends, and that's what we're most looking forward to. So everyone's really excited about what's to come tomorrow night, and I just think it's going to be a great contest. India are a world-class side, so it's going to be a great game first up.
Do you like playing up at night?
Yeah, doesn't really make too much of a difference to me whether it's day or night. We've done a fair bit of it over the last few years, so it just means you've got to wait around a little longer during the day and find something to do. But I think it sort of just creates a nice atmosphere, and hopefully that allows a lot of people to get to the game.
It all kicks off tonight for the Australians against the Indians. The other group games are against Sri Lanka at the Wacker on Feb 24, Bangladesh on Feb 27 at Manuka Oval, and their final group game is against New Zealand at the Junction Oval March the 2nd, 3 o'clock, an afternoon game. Otherwise, every other game for the Australians is at night. It is 6:09. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some more footy news to get through before the Breakfast Club starts at 6 o'clock plus. Rory McIlroy has made some comments about the proposed Golf Premier League.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
The one thing as a professional golfer in my position that I value is the fact that I have autonomy and freedom over everything that I do. I pick and choose. This is a perfect example. Some guys this week made the choice to not come to Mexico. If you go and play this other golf league, you're not going to have that choice. If you take the money, they can tell you what to do. So if you don't take the money, they can't tell you what to do. And I think that's my thing. I've never been one for being told what to do. Money's the easy part. I value a lot of other things over money, and that's sort of my stance on it at this point.
That's the voice of Rory McIlroy, who has dismissed suggestions that he'd like to be part of the Golf Premier League. It's plans that were unveiled last month by the World Golf Group for a new global tour that hopes to launch in 2022, 18 yearly tournaments with a prize money of $15 million featuring 48 of the game's top players. Tiger Woods last week said he'd been approached by the PGL and was gathering further information. I know Adam Scott was asked about it last week at the Genesis Open. He did put his support into it, Adam Scott, and said it would be great for the game and would add some further pressure to the PGA Tour. And he knows that it is something that Australian legend Greg Norman tried to unveil back in 1994, but did fail to gain any sort of traction with that. But that's the voice of Rory McIlroy and his thoughts on the proposed Golf Premier League. Let's get back to footy before we finish up. There was a couple of practice game scratch matches yesterday between Richmond and Richmond and Carlton and Collingwood. We'll start at the Icon Park Carlton-Collingwood game where Dale Amos, one of Carlton's assistant coaches, was very happy to see Sam Doherty, the club captain, return.
Good to see the smile on his face and see him back playing again. And you could see by that he feels really confident in his body. You know, and that's, I guess, the pre-season's been a lot about that, building him up and have great confidence in his body to be able to go out and play. And he enjoyed it, I think.
Yeah, look, he's a smart player. I think he'll build into the season. And having missed 2 years, I think it's a significant amount of time. So, expectation-wise, we're just allowing him to build his way in. We get a chance to play again next week and we'll continue to build from there. So I think his footy will get better as years goes on.
Great news for Carlton fans to hear about Sam Doherty's return. They won the day by 32 points and I think Eddie Betts kicked 3 or 4 goals in the clash. Well, over at Punt Road, Richmond played against themselves with almost the grand final side up against a string of reserve sides, and Justin Lepich spoke about how good the depth at the Tigers is.
Well, guys that didn't play towards any that are consistent players, like Jack Ross, Riley Collier-Dawkins, Sydney Stack, they all played really well. And Shea Bolton was exceptional as well. So, and that's the spots they'll be taking. So, look, it's a real challenge for us and how you fit them in, how many mids, how many forwards. It's going to be difficult for us at the moment because we've got a lot of really good players in good form.
They're just striking while the iron is hot, the Richmond Footy Club. One man who the grand final week basically centred around last year was Marlon Pickett, and the questions came again yesterday for Justin Lepich. He was asked about their debutant gamer, their Hall of Famer, and their premiership player, Marlon.
He's learned. It's his first AFL pre-season, so even at 27 years of age, the improvement you can get just by being in an AFL system. He does look good. He looks sharp. Still blind turning everybody, which is good to see.
There wouldn't be too many players who don't look good and don't look sharp at this time of year. In fact, we'll go down to John Longmire, who said, Buddy Franklin is the fittest he's ever seen. He's superstar, even though he's unlikely to play in round one and he's currently battling a knee injury.
Going well, he's running, so he's back running and we'll be stepping that up over the next couple of weeks. We're really mindful that we're not just about round one, it's a long season and we need to get some training into him so to make him resilient with his soft tissue injuries before the season starts. So if that's round one, fine. If it's not round one, it won't be. So we'll make that decision a bit closer to the start of the season. We think he'll pick it up pretty quick because he was as fit as I've seen him at the club since he's been here. He's really fit and he was going and doing... Yeah, he's still modified, but doing everything he had to do. So we think he'll pick that up pretty quickly. He works really hard too, off legs, and so he's able to maintain a certain level of fitness. And he's just a pretty special athletic talent.
The Swans have got this weekend off, but their first game is on Feb 29 against GWS. North Melbourne, they play tonight at Marvel Stadium against the Western Bulldogs. The big news in the last 24 hours is going to be the return of Majak Dora. New coach Reece Shaw announced that news yesterday.
Happy to say that Madge will play tomorrow night, and it's going to be a really exciting time for him and his family, and for the club. Like, we're really pumped for him, and look forward to seeing him out there in the number one again. The way Madge has gone about his footy since we returned for pre-season, it's been a long journey for him, and he's really put his head down and stuck to his task and really re-educated himself on what it takes to be an AFL footballer, and he's done that, and he's built up really well. He knows he's in for a tough battle with our backline. It's no one's given a game, so he's got to perform, but we're really pleased with where he's at right now.
Looking forward to watching this game tonight at Marvel Stadium. It's the Bulldogs against North Melbourne at 7:10. That wraps it up for the Breakfast Bite for this week. After 6 o'clock, Daniel Harford, Adam White and Adam Ramanaskis have their best show for the week. Dean Lester and Nick Quinn will look at the Quaddie Leagues. Dean Kent from the Saints, Lisa Alexander from the Diamonds, Lee Holdsworth looks at the Supercars this weekend, and Jeremy Lowliger on a record-breaking NBL season. Have a great weekend. We look forward to catching you again on Monday.